Wrapping up, highlighting the Veterans Heritage Project and their upcoming couple events, and their special recipient of the Storyteller Award, Colonel Thomas H. Kirk. I know you give your presentation to many people, and I know through the Veterans Heritage Project, many of those people are school-age students. Mm-hmm. What's the number one takeaway you want them to have when they finish hearing you out?
That's a very interesting question, and one that I try to close every talk with. And I say to the ladies in the morning when you comb your hair, fix your face, and the guys when you shave, whatever you do, look in the mirror and ask yourself, how am I doing? And I don't mean ego-wise. I mean, how are you doing as a parent, a son, a brother, child, or whatever it happens to be? When you do that, you can't lie to yourself. You look and you say, I'm doing well. You're the greatest guy in the world. The world is your oyster. If you're not satisfied with the answer to your question, it ain't your teacher. It's not your parents. Only you can change and make your life better. And I am so much better and a stronger person from having been through that experience. And I would ask you only to remember this old soldier, not as a guy that's telling you a horror story, but is one of the proudest and happiest people on the face of the earth for having served, gone through this, and been spared, and have my life in front of me. And I ask you, think about what you have as an American and enjoy every day of your life and give back to your friends and your country.
How did you find out in the Hanoi Hilton the war was over?
Well, they told us. The camp commander came out and told us. President Nixon sent the B-52s, the big intercontinental bombers, to Hanoi for the first time on the, I believe it was, it may be wrong by 2 days, the 18th of December of 72. And we blockaded the harbor so that they couldn't get supplies. And we were bombing Hanoi, which had never been done. And we were in the prison camp, and they were bombing, and the concrete was falling off the tops of the cells on us. And we were screaming for joy because we knew the war would end soon. And I think with all my heart, we could have ended it in 67 if it hadn't been a political war.
Amen.
But anyway, when they came up and started bombing, we knew the war was going to end. And it did end on the 23rd of January. And they told us the next day, and all they did was the camp commander came in and called us, and there were seven different camps, and called us to the outside and stood us up and says, the war is over, and if all goes well, you'll go home soon.
Oh,
and that's how we knew about it.
Goodness. That sends chills up my back.
Absolutely.
Just trying to imagine how you process that information after being subjected to everything you'd been subjected to for 5.5 years.
Well, they put us in buses the day we came home. They put us in buses and carried us out, and we were on the Tom Kirk Memorial Bridge. Now, on the bridge that I had bombed, I called it the Tom Kirk Bridge. And I look up, and there's this beautiful white American transport coming into land to take us home. There were 27 on my bus crying like babies.
Oh.
And we got out there behind the airfield, behind a hangar, and we sat there. It must have been 2 hours. Every one of us, oh my God, we're going back. Something happened. It didn't matter. Because every time they gave us a banana in the camp, you thought the war was going to end.
Oh.
And we sat there, we were sitting there. Finally, they marched us out in a column of twos, and there was an American general and a Vietnamese general in the airplane. And they call your name, you'd go up and salute, and there was a fellow waiting right there to take you by the arm to escort you right to the airplane. And I didn't mention my good buddy John McCain, but John McCain and I were shot down 2 days apart and came home together. I was standing right behind him in the line to get on the airplane, and we remained friends as long as he lived. It was a glorious day, but you know, we put all the people on, there were two airplanes there, big transports, and we all got on the airplane very quietly and very studiously and talked and hugged each other, but nothing exciting.
Wow.
The airplane starts up and taxis up. And as soon as the wheels left the ground, we're up screaming and yelling and kissing each other. And all. We could not believe we were coming home until we were actually in the air.
That was pretty
spectacular.
Well, I can't imagine that at Rosie's house this morning, this Saturday morning, there's a dry eye in the house just trying to put ourselves in those kinds of boots. And I can't thank you enough personally for taking time to come and share your story.
My pleasure.
And congratulations on winning the Storyteller Award from the Veterans Heritage Project this year.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
Folks, I can't encourage you enough to get to their website, veteransheritage.org, and go to /salute, and you'll see a couple events that are coming up. The Veterans Heritage Project, with the students, publishes an annual book. And Colonel Kirk will be in this year's edition, 2019.
No, I was in the year 12, 2012.
Okay, so you're an alumnus.
Yeah, alumnus, right.
Okay, but it is stories of veterans, and I believe this year's edition kind of highlights the Korean War, if I'm not mistaken.
Vietnam.
The Vietnam War, okay. So there you go, veteransheritage.org/salute. There's a couple events where the veterans will be there to... You can buy a copy of the book. You can have the veteran sign the book. And then, of course, there's the Saluting Stories of Service, where Colonel Kirk will be recognized as the recipient of the Storyteller Award. And like I say, it's worth going and buying a ticket and getting that banquet just for the opportunity to bid on the opportunity to have dinner one-on-one with Colonel Kirk and his wife. God bless America.